before, we've been looking at dealing with anxiety and fear, and we've gone to different parts of the scriptures to expound on the principles that we find in God's word that we are meant to stand upon, dealing with anxiety and fear. And it's interesting that this is a recurring issue, probably more so now at the beginning of the year with many. When I say many, I'm not talking about people in this assembly. Many, many individuals are having to fight and to battle with anxieties and fear, and of course the economy and the policy and the election. News is just flying around. You know, Satan is having a field day. I hope you know the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. That means he has a measure of control over information that flies around. So power of the air simply means the airwaves, how information passes around. Okay? And that's one of the reasons why the internet can be of the greatest good. The internet can also be of the greatest evil, depending on who controls it. So when you go on the internet, be careful of what you are, you know, focusing your attention on. And some of these things are done unconsciously, that many of us don't realize that certain things are being done. Look at what the Spirit of God tells us in Proverbs chapter 4. Okay, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh." Okay? All their flesh. Let me read from verse 20 again. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings." It's simply saying that the word of God will not naturally come to you. The word of God will not naturally appeal to you. The word of God is something you have to consciously make sure you imbibe. So to incline your ear simply means you are the one who has responsibility of hearing. Everything God wants to do in your life, it does by your hearing. The hearing of faith that brings understanding is how God produces the victories and the testimonies that we experience on a daily basis. So there's something about your hearing and my hearing that God works with. Whatever you've not had, you limit yourself from experiencing. Let me say that again. Whatever you've not had, you limit yourself from experiencing. That means even if it belongs to you, it's given to you. If you've not had it, you can walk in it fully. So he says, "My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." So that means the responsibility of hearing belongs to you. And let me say this. One of the major ways that we stand against anxiety and fear is based on what we hear. Do you know that thoughts will come to your mind, and the thoughts that are coming against your mind, you are hearing things. Now, the only way to dislodge those kind of thoughts is to hear something else. The things you're going to hear, you can't hear them passively. Thoughts of fear and anxiety will come passively. But the word of God doesn't come passively. You have to deliberately make a conscious effort. Let me put it this way. When a believer is feeling his weakest, that sensation is something that happens in his soul. Your soul can be drained of strength. That is, you feel that God is far away. There's like a disconnect. You don't have any sensation at all that God is with you. At that point in time, any small challenge will have you flat on your back. Okay? Now, the tragedy of that is this. The Bible has already said in the New Testament that we are more than conquerors. That means the real battle was fought and won through Christ. Every other thing, you are just going through the motions. Let me put it this way. You know, in the war, there were what you call occupation forces. I don't know if you know what occupation forces are. Okay, during the war, I think even in Iraq, they were called occupation forces. Occupation forces simply refer to when a particular side has secured victory and has secured certain portions, okay, of enemy territory, they will put their men there to maintain control. They call occupation forces. So, as Jesus won the victory, yes. What are we doing there? We're occupying it till he comes. Now, here's the issue. You are not occupying physically. You are meant to occupy spiritually. Your victory is spiritual in nature. So you have to keep hearing of that victory to stay in occupation. A lot of believers always act like, if God is for me, why is this happening to me? That's a statement that shows you don't understand spiritual realities. If God is really for me, what am I going through? No, Jesus already said many times, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, in Jesus' words, very simple instruction, be of good cheer, I have. That phrase simply means, whatever thing the world has that can affect you, I've taken care of it. And he's talking about the new birth. And I said, you be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Okay? Now, you are an occupational force. You are standing your ground. But the Bible gives us principles. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. When the writer of Proverbs was writing it, he didn't even have what we now have in Christ. Because attend to my words now and incline your ear to my sayings now. What are his sayings? He's now referring to something that has already been done. Let me say it another way. To attend to my words and incline to my sayings, when the writer of Proverbs was writing it, he is speaking about what God promised he would do for them when they get into difficult situations. Now, if you're going to apply that to a believer now, that's a saint, God's words and his sayings are no longer, listen carefully, a statement of what he will do. They're now a statement of what he has done. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? And now he's stating what he has done. Again, I said something on Sunday. If you have not been thoroughly schooled in New Testament truths, the whole Testament are dangerous waters. You will drown. I mean it, you will drown. The easiest way to slip into works is to focus all your attention on the Old Testament. I know the Old Testament has stories. Some people like it because there are stories there. And there are no stories in the New Testament. So you like, if you have someone who likes stories, how David slew Goliath, how Saul's men pursued David, and then they were types and shadows of the real. Now, the problem is that you will slip into works. Then you start seeing yourself like David. The bad part is this: David never saw himself as himself. He was seeing himself as you. That is, he saw how you will be and wanted to be like you. So when you're reading those things, you read them in the light of what you now have. Hallelujah. I told you, for instance, Psalm 23 is a prophecy for today. There are future prophecies, things that will come to pass. When the Bible says, there shall nothing hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, is a future prophecy. When it says, lion and lamb shall lie together, you know the lion and lamb cannot lie together. Have you seen it before? That's talking about the new heaven and new earth. That's pre-future. But you have to know which one is for today. So Psalm 23, for instance, is for today. Why? Psalm 23 is a believer expressing victory and boldness because of what he now has in Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He begins to analyze it. He makes me to what? He makes me to... you know something. You should know something. He makes me to what? Lie down green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What does he do? He restores my... What does restoration of the soul mean? If you've been in this church for a while, what does restoration of the soul mean? We're decoding David's Psalms. Renewing the mind. How did he become your shepherd? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. So it has been fulfilled. It just shows you how does he do it. He restores your soul. He makes you to walk in paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness simply means the reality of what Christ has done is the reality you're walking in. That's what it means. Because I've seen believers who say things like, who shall ascend unto God's holy hill? He that has clean hands. That's not for you. Somebody has ascended on God's holy hill. His name is Jesus. He had clean hands. And he did it for you and for me. So you can quote it and not know what he's saying. And you can rob yourself of something God has given you if you don't know that what you're reading has been fulfilled is not going to be fulfilled. Again, pay attention. I told us once also that Deuteronomy 28 is under the law. Are you under the law? You're not answering. Are you under the law? Okay. What things ever the Lord said, he said to them that are what? Under the law. Can we learn lessons there? Yes. Is he addressing you personally? No. So when you take Deuteronomy 28, the minute you read verse 1 and 2, the next 13 verses or 12 verses will put you in trouble. So what we see people do is they skip verse 1 and 2, then verse 3, 4 to 14, then they stop. All these blessings are mine. Read from verse 1. It shall come to pass. So it has not even come to pass. That's the first problem. That if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all, that's where the problem is. Observing to do all is the problem. Because you cannot observe to do all. So Moses gave them, to observe to do all that I command thee this day. And when he say command, that's the language of the Lord. I command this day that this blessing shall come upon you and overtake you. So it's conditional. So it can't be grace. Hallelujah. And I told us a secret also, that that is like the first two verses are like a CV. Nobody under the Old Testament had that CV. It's like when you want to apply for a job and the HR department puts out the qualifications for that job. They don't know who you are, where you're coming from. They just know the person that will fulfill this function must have this CV. So that CV in verse 1 and 2, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently. Only one person had it. His name is Jesus. So that verse is not even addressing you. It's addressing one person. His name is Jesus, the seed of Abraham. He came and fulfilled all the obligations. Say amen. That's not our subject today. I wonder why I'm going there now. But I just want you to understand that. So when the Bible says that, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, it's not talking about something you do once, something that you keep doing. Because the victory that you have, you need to constantly be reminded of it. The same way your mind is being constantly bombarded by negative thoughts. You know, like it or not, if you wake up in the morning and the first thing you see on social media is people dying, somebody going out of business, or 14 businesses have closed down since 2019 began. Do you know that doesn't help your faith? How many of you doesn't help your faith? That you hear that 40 businesses, but even if the business is not yours, I hear that 72 new businesses have started during the year. Even if though the business is not your own, it will still help your faith. Yes. So news is coming. It now says, incline your ear to my sayings. That means you take your ear from one source to the other. That's what it means. Are you with me tonight? You deliberately remove your ear from a particular source. You connect it to another source. You incline your ear to my sayings. And this is my son. This is the secret. You must attend to my words, which is pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Look at the next verse. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Eyes and heart simply means the words you've heard are forming an image. They are forming an image. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of where? Your heart. Where do you make decisions every day? Your heart. Where do you decide to quit or to stand fast? Your heart. So keep them in the midst of your heart, which means they should form the basis of your decision making. They should form the basis of your decision making. That's what it means. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It says, for they are what? Life. Say life. Unto those that find them. So again, it's calling your attention. It doesn't come to you accidentally. You find it. You find it. You deliberately look out for it. And when you find it, it is life. Life simply means it will put you over in whatever situation you find yourself in. That's what the word of God is designed to do. Say with me, God's word is my victory in all situations. God's word is my guarantee of eternal assistance in all situations. God's word is my way of coming out of all situations. So it says they are life unto those that find them, and it's what? Health or medicine to all their flesh. Now, in this series I've been looking at, we saw God's words to Joshua. We noticed something about the instructions that God told Joshua. He knew Joshua was afraid. God knew. Do you know God knows when you are afraid? Oh, yes. He does. Did God know Joshua was afraid? Yes, he knew. Like I said, Moses' shoes were very big. So God kept emphasizing one thing to him. Go to Joshua 1 again. We have just today and next week to round up. So I'm thinking this because I need you to be able to practice this on your own. And the reason why every single service I lead us in confession is not just because I'm inspired. I'm showing an example. This is how to secure victory. You have to know how to open your mouth. You have to know how to open your mouth. Your mouth has to serve the right purposes. Your mouth has to feed your heart with the right words. In the seasons of difficulty, you need to keep hearing things. So it's not every time there will be a message that you can play. You may be on the road. You may be in the car when the thoughts will come. When fear like a cloak can settle upon you. There has to be something stronger in you, in your spirit. And let me say this. Rich, be happy. If you have some jumping, the minute you can hook your tongue to your spirit at will, victory is sure. Some things will come out of your mouth that will school your heart in righteousness. I'm telling you from experience. Some things will come out of your mouth via your spirit that will school your heart in the victory that is just in Christ in difficult situations. That's why you don't start practicing this when the storm has begun. You have to have a fellowship where you speak supernaturally on a consistent basis, so that when it's time to bring out and to draw out, it's not an uphill task. You're not trying to psych yourself. You have to keep behaving. That's the way to stay free in your heart of fear and anxiety. Look at what God told Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read very fast. So it says, "Now after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast." Verse 5. Is that fast? Okay. Okay, so the idea is that because we've gone through this, but we also want to bring out one or two things. Okay, verse 5. "There shall not any man..." Now, this is God's personal guarantee. Joshua, "there shall not any man..." Now, listen carefully. When God says "there shall not any man," God is boasting in his own ability. That ability doesn't come to pass by itself. You need to understand. The way the artist designed is this: whatever God has said is settled in heaven. Heaven simply means is settled in the realm of the spirit. This is available. This is real. This is so. You cannot change this, but you can have a different experience on contrary to this. So let me stop a little and see what happens. I personally believe that one of the greatest tragedies in a believer's life, that when we get to heaven, some of us will realize, is that there was never a time you failed and victory was not there. There was never a time you experienced difficulty and escape route was not made available by God. Never a time. I say never a time. The power that God made available to us at the resurrection was released in such a measure that it far outweighs all the challenge you can ever have. In 10 lifetimes, that sounds like an exaggeration. I don't know if you understand what I just said. If you have to live your life 10 times over, that is, you live from the day you were born till you were 95 before you passed on. Some of you want to be 120 on your own. But if you decide to live from 1 to 95, 10 lifetimes over, the power that was released into you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough to bring you out of every single situation, not occasionally, but every time. Now pay attention to what I'm about to say. The challenge we have is this. The fiber of the human mind is extremely strong. It's so strong that you have to, so to speak, bombard it with a particular information consistently over a period of time to change the shape and the configuration of that mind. Do you know that they did this, an experiment years ago? They were taking some people to space, so they did an experiment. They put them in a particular building where they did everything upside down for 28 days. After 28 days, when they sat them the right way up and it took them, they saw everything that way. Even though they were not the right way up. So when they got to the moon, they didn't have a problem with the gravity. And I will say, that means the mind can be schooled until it believes what you want it to believe. That's how the mind is. It's like a muscle. It can expand. The muscles of the mind are more difficult to expand than the muscles of the body. That's why whatever a man wants to do and accomplish fully, if he can see it first in his mind, he will accomplish it physically. Because the only thing that can hold him back is not God. It is his mind. So what was God telling Joshua? There shall not any man be able to stand. God has never lied. Not able to stand simply means that as far as opposition is concerned, I want to guarantee you, you will never face an opposition that you will not be able to overcome. That's what God is saying. So if you read Deuteronomy, for instance, God kept telling them, I have put your fear in the hearts of the people. Go, possess the land. I have given you the king of Sion. Take over his land. And the people God was talking about were still inside the land. And God was saying, I have given to me, I've asked God his concern, it's done. I can see in that land. You now have to see yourself in the land. So what did I have to deal with? The people that God is talking about are still in land. It is as you go that you see them depart. I don't even understand what I'm saying. So when he chooses, he says, there shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not what? Fail thee, nor forsake thee. You need to sometimes sit down and ask yourself, say, God will never fail me. He will never forsake me. Irrespective of the situation, even when I make mistakes, even when I miss it, he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. He will never fail me. He will never forsake me. You need to let that settle in your heart. He won't. He said this under a lesser covenant to a man. Why did Joshua need to hear? Because it is in Joshua's heart that the decisions that will be made that will allow God's power to be made manifest. Do you know, after God told Joshua all this, he told them the next instruction. How are you going to cross over to the land of Canaan? You will go over this Jordan. This Jordan was a river that overflowed its banks. So whatever instruction that God told him to do, he must remember, I said, I will not fail you. I won't forsake you. So the instruction that Joshua was meant to carry out, why was he bold to carry it out? That was what God was working. So that, because God will give you some instruction. Listen carefully. It will not make sense, but it will make God, and it will make victory. It will not make sense, but it will make God, it will make for victory. That is part of the reason why your heart has to be full of God's word, and you have to make it so by hearing something. Because when those instructions come and your heart is not used to those kind of instructions, you will not walk in it. Hallelujah. You walk in it. Let me share this again. See, some years back we were in church, and then after service, I just said by the Spirit of God, they will come. That's not sound like a very good prophecy. They will come. The robbers will come. How many of you know that? You will not say amen. Yeah, you cannot say amen. Now, again, if not for a few years in the things of the Spirit, even I will not say it and say, no, this cannot be God. Where was God? He said, they will come. Sure, the robbers will come, but they didn't come for you. Be at peace. 2 days after, on a Tuesday, Monday, so Tuesday night, my phones are never off, by the way. That's why I always buy new phones. When I say buy, I always buy. I always use new phones. I don't buy because my phones are never off. That means I never switch, except I want to reset the phone. My phones, I've never switched up. They are always, so you can imagine you use them for 3 or 4 years, but you have never switched them off. The batteries had better be good. So they're by my side in the night. So this lady, member of church, called in the night. And she was whispering. Her voice was shaking. Pastor, I'm robbers. Somebody says there are three P's in a man's life. Parents, police, pastor. Why call pastor first? Why do you always call pastor first? You say, pastor, pastor. They just quadrupled my salary. Let us share it. No. No. Where there is problem? Pastor, I am in trouble. Pastor, I'm at the police station. Are you wondering, am I a lawyer? Pastor's face things, I'm telling you. All right, so, say, ah, pastor, I can see them in the next house. They are operating. They're moving house to house. I said, did you remember what we said on Sunday? He said, what's that? I said, they came, but they didn't come for you. What should I do? I said, go and lie down and sleep. Don't pray. When you pray that time, it's fear. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. It's not, you are not in faith. You are in fear. Your heart is shaking. You understand? Because you are looking at the situation. She told me later, I said, pastor, I went to go and lie down. It was difficult to lie down, but I lay down. He said, but I don't know why they skipped our building. He said, I know why they skipped your building, because God had already said so. And they went to the next building. And they continued their operation. 8,000 shall fall by your side. 10,000 by your right hand. But it will not come near you. But only with your eyes will you say, are you not beholding? That's all you're allowed to do. You are beholding. That's all you're doing. You're not a partaker of it. You're already a partaker of the inheritance that belongs to the saints and lights. That's supernatural preservation and deliverance that God has awarded to you. So, I want to put yourself in Joshua's shoes or look at what God is saying. Yes, God, trying to work on Joshua's mind. Let me put it this way. If anybody was taking a risk, listen carefully, God was the one taking a risk. Because Joshua, my servant, Moses, my servant is dead. Joshua, all the prophecies we told Moses, it now depends on you. Don't run, no. I don't know if you get it. Joshua, don't turn your back. I will not leave nor forsake. In other words, God is saying, the only one that can hinder this thing from coming to pass, Joshua, is you, if you turn around. God is saying, Joshua, there's no lack of power. There is tremendous power. In fact, my angels are here to fulfill all the prophecies, but Joshua, you must not turn back. Do you know the activities of men on the heart either fast forward or hinder the purpose of God? Tell your neighbor, neighbor, be bold, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God needs you strong and sound and bold in the reality of his love so he can do mighty things through you. Think about it. I mean, God will seek for a man and send him to a rural place where the demons have so taken control of the souls of men that they are eating men there, and he will send a man, just one man. And all you tell that man is that there is enough power. You just go and speak. When they shout like this, don't shake. I'm with you. Some of you are thinking, you are with me. Show yourself. What is God doing? He just needs a man that will be bold enough to stand so that God's power can be seen. A minister was asking me about some things that happened in the 1930s, and I told him, I said that Apostle Ayobabala did not need exegesis of the Bible. Because it's not exegesis he's dealing with. He's dealing with raw witchcraft and wickedness. Okay? Where pregnancies are tied in people's bodies deliberately by evil powers. Somebody is pregnant for 3 years. It was raw darkness. So it was raw power and boldness that the man went with. He didn't have to do all these exegesis, you know, the Greek word of the... No. It's not Greek word. It's power. And there was a fearlessness about that man. And God did mighty exploits in land and delivered men from the authority of darkness. Why? Because a man was bold. So when God was telling Joshua, there shall not any man. So if Joshua sees any man anywhere, he already knows that you cannot stand before me. That's what God is saying. I'm with you. I'm for you. This book of the law shall not depart out of where? Out of where? Was Joshua just meant to read it or to recite it? Let me ask again. Was he just meant to read it or to recite it? Look at verse 6 and 7. Verse 6 and 7. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt what? divide for inheritance the land which has sworn to their fathers. I want you to see God's language. The land God is talking about is on the other side. They are on this side. And God is already talking about how to divide the land. I hope you see the way God talks. You are going to divide the land. He's discussing with him, and the man is here, and the land is on the other side. And there's a river between him and the land. And God said, you are going to divide. So I just need you to be strong. That you are going to get the land is not in question. The land is already yours. And they were not yet in the land. So look at the next verse. Only be thou one strong and very. So the balance of power is on whose side? That of God or Joshua? That of God or Joshua? Joshua only, he repeated, be thou strong and very what? Courageous. That thou mayest observe to do according to the law which my son has commanded thee. Turn off for me to right hand to the left, that thou mayest prosper with whatsoever thou goest. So how was he meant to do that? Verse 8. This book of the law shall not what? Depart out of your mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein how? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to what that is what? Written herein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have one. So Joshua was meant to look into the book, read the book, recite the book. Recite means that he will say things out of that book that God had commanded them in situations. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Let me show you something. Let me show you part of what was written in that book of the law. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemies, listen, see what God's saying. And thou seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou. Are there people more than the Israelites in those days? Several times, yes. And even more than that, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is where? With thee. Which brought thee out. Look at God's language. Did you notice that I brought you out of? Did you remember I brought you out of Egypt? Do you remember that they were your taskmasters? You were under them and I still delivered you. So I want you to remember that when you are facing armies that are bigger and I've done this before. I brought you out of Egypt. So it's working on their minds. Don't be afraid when you see the horses and chariots. Look at the next verse. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. I always laugh when I get to the pass. I shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble. Neither be you terrified because of them. Look at all the activities that fear produces. Can you see? You take go back to verse 3. See. Heart fainting. Knees trembling. Terrified heart. Can you see what fear produces? Next verse. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against what? Your enemies to save you. Next verse. And the officers are speaking to people saying, what man is there that has built a new house that has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. You see that? Next verse. And what man is there that has planted a vineyard that has not yet eaten of it? Let him also go return to his house, lest he die in battle, and another man eat of it. Next verse. What man is there that has betrothed a wife and has not taken her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle, and another man take her. And officers shall speak unto us. What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Now, the first three categories of people, vineyard, wife, okay, and house, has to do with anxiety over natural possessions. That is and anxiety is actually clogging your heart. You can't focus on what God is saying. But that last one now says, notice why they gave something to the last one. How many of among you are fearful? Let him separate from the rest so that he won't infect them with his fear. So fear is infectious. I like watching prank videos. You know prank videos? Prank videos. I like watching prank videos. So I saw one prank like that. That a man will just turn the corner. He wants to see somebody, he'll just start running. Every single time, people started running with him. They didn't know where they were running. They didn't ask. They just started running. You know, it happens a lot in Nigeria. Yeah. Yeah. I saw a comedian make a joke about it one day. That he said that when you watch CNN recording when Iraq, they are live, they are filming, they're saying that as you see, the top battalion is fighting on this side and they are shooting, they've never taken down this wall, and the cameraman's shooting, and then the correspondents there. So when you see Nigerian correspondents, they will say, you see somebody running in your direction, you just see that. Excuse me, why are you running? Is there any problem? Said yes. In that place, people are dying. Said, brother, People, as you can hear, they say people are dying. It's what they say, you will never go there. It is what he has said, they say that he will never turn that corner. Not people just act, because fear is easier to respond to than faith for most people. So this was instructions that was given in that Buddha. You are going to face armies that appear bigger, but don't be afraid. The Lord your God is with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You understand? So the challenge is not that the thing is bigger or appears bigger. The challenge, the issue is that, can you keep your heart focused on the fact that the ability of God within you is sufficient? It is more than enough to put you over, no matter the situation. And then we saw Psalm 46 last week. Psalm 46 verse 1. Making this as practical as possible. Psalm 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Where? A very present help where? Other translations is that a readily available help in trouble, or a help that has been made ready before trouble manifested. So it's safe for a believer to know that before a challenge or situation arose, help was already waiting for me and with me in God. Then verse 2 now says, therefore will we not fear. Where are you drawing strength from? God is a very present help. Where? In time of trouble. What you do in the trouble, you should not fear then. It means if you are conscious that God's help is ready, available, you should not fear. That's what he's saying. So God is a refuge and strength is a revelation that should back fearlessness. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the heart be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Next verse. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with trembling thereof. Next verse. There is a river, the streams thereof shall what? Make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. So he's talking about a decision not to be afraid. It's a decision not to be afraid. I asked a question one year. Let me ask a question. Is it wrong to pass through the graveyard at night? Please answer. Is it wrong? Okay, is it evil to pass through a graveyard at night? Okay, let me moderate. Can you pass through a graveyard at night? Now, can I tell you why you will not pass through? Nollywood. That's why. And many stories. What is a graveyard? A place where they put bodies of departed spirits. But somehow you have been taught that there are activities of other spirits in that same place, but during the day they've simply put bodies of departed spirits there. So what is there? Bodies of dry spirits. That's all that's there. So if you are walking through and you are afraid, number one, your mind is working on you. Because if you bring somebody who has never had stories of activities in graveyard them, and he just wants to pass through the place to his house, he will simply pass through. In fact, he will be more comfortable passing through that place than to pass through a dark alley where he's likely to meet robbers. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But because of stories you have had, they have done damage. That they do meeting there. Which meeting? They do meeting there. So the fear is propagated by meat. You pass through graveyard. Why? What are you doing there? And you know, because of this normal fear that we have on this African continent, you know, over there, whites, they do a lot of shady deals in graveyards. Because they are not afraid of spirits. They just know that nobody would think of going to a graveyard to catch them there. That's what they do. Well, Africans, stories that you have had working on your mind. Even if the graveyard is the shortest course to your house, you take the long way. Why? You have had things. So you now have to unhear those things in that sense for you to be at peace. Think about it. We have so many myths around us that make us believe in the supernatural, the negative supernatural. God's word is meant to school you in the positive supernatural. Hallelujah. And the positive side of supernatural. That's what God said. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. It's talking about the Spirit of God within us today. Which means that you have the Spirit of the resurrected Lord. You should be fearless. Say, I'm fearless. I have the Spirit of the living God within me. That spirit is above all spirits. Just as my spirit in Christ is enthroned above every other spirit. I have mastery in Christ in all situations. I judge all situations in the light of my authority I have in Christ. I refuse to fear. I will not be afraid. I am bold and strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hallelujah. It's so important that we are this way at all times, consistently. So, this book shall not depart. It's confirming what the writer of Proverbs said when he says that, incline your ear to my sayings. You are seen. You are seen. You are seen. Again, one of the greatest challenges we have, I believe, is that we, most of the time, let negative thoughts come unchallenged. What if they no longer give me that contract? What if they don't give me that money again? What if I lose that job and you don't answer back? You are meant to be answering back. Those thoughts are not ordinary. You're meant to answer back. What if I fail and you're watching it? The thoughts are just coming. You're not responding. You don't understand that the dynamics of victory require that there has to be a response. There has to be a response from you. Luke chapter 8, quickly, because of our time. Luke chapter 8, let's read from verse 40. We're going to read a bit fast. This is Luke's version of the story in Mark chapter 5 of the one with the issue of blood. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. Next verse. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Now, here's where we're going. Next verse. While he yet speak, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." The way Mark chapter 5 puts it is this. He came to Jesus and said, "My daughter lies at the point of death, but come and lay your hands upon her and she shall live." That was Jairus' faith. That was what Jairus believed. So you can look at it this way. Jesus is the power of God on two legs. Jesus sits somewhere. Jesus represents God. You come to God. You make your statement of faith. A process has started. Jesus is coming with you to that place to effect what you have believed. Then midway, something happens. While you're trying to get the solution or situation, get a situation, you hear more terrible news. How many of you have explained that before? In fact, somebody has been said, "Pastor, this confession thing. Nothing, you know, it was just that it was bad. But the minute you said we should be confessing, it just got worse." First one was saying, "If only I had not confessed, I would have managed it the way it was. It just got worse." Said, "Don't you think that the enemy is playing tricks around you? That's why it seems to have gotten worse. How can you apply God's power and it gets worse? Except something is trying to play around with your senses." So notice what happened. It says, while he yet speak to that woman, there comes one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Thy daughter..." Now, do you notice this voice, this individual that came with this message, it was unsolicited. Nobody asked them to come. I don't even hear what I'm saying. And then they were not talking to Jesus. Who were they talking to? Jairus. Look at what it says. "Your daughter is already dead. Don't trouble the master any further." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him. Jesus did not let Jairus speak. What did Jairus say before when he came? "Come and lay your hands upon her and she shall live." What did Jairus just hear now? "Don't bother the master any further. Your daughter is already dead." So the only hope he took, somebody was trying to take it with words. Then Jesus answered. For the person that we're addressing, Jesus, and Jesus is answering, he's showing us the principle of how fear steals whatever victory that we are trying to express. Jairus was not allowed to answer. Jesus answered. Which means the word of God on your inside will always rise up at the right time if you store it there in any given situation you find yourself in. I don't know if you hear what I said. The word of God on the inside of you that you have stored there will rise up and respond to any negative thing in a situation that comes your way when the time comes. Jesus answered immediately. Look at what Jesus said. When Jesus had the answer saying, fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. Now let me ask a question. What was wrong with Jairus' daughter when he came to Jesus? She was very sick unto death. What was wrong with her now that he brought news? He's already dead. When she was alive and she was very sick, and the time she died, does it really make any difference to God? Does it make any difference to God? So notice, in between those two separate incidences, fear was introduced by the enemy. What it really was that once you are operating in fear, you are going to stop the power of God from flowing. You are going to stop the power of God from flowing. That's the issue. Listen. If they write to your area, they used to do it. I don't know how they're still doing it. Ambrose has to write a letter. We're coming to visit you on so-and-so. You know they used to do it. You've not heard that before. We're coming to so-and-so. Even if you hear of them, there has to be something that you know and you have that can stand against any attack whatsoever. You are strong enough in Christ. Say amen. You are mighty enough in God. He has given his angels charge over you. Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and deliver them. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus, the living word, answered back, fear not, only believe. What did Jairus do before he came to Jesus? He only believed. What was being introduced? Fear to contaminate his faith. So it's safe for you to say, fear is faith contaminated. That was what was about to happen. He had made a statement of faith. What was that statement? If you come and lay your hands upon her, she shall live. Somebody now says, which live? She's already dead now. And Jesus answered back, because of what the words were meant to do, Jairus. What were those meant to do? Stir fear. So Jesus quickly looked for Jairus. In fact, the person that spoke is not the person that Jesus addressed. Jesus just addressed the person the words were spoken to. Trouble not the master any further, your daughter is dead. Jesus turned to Jairus, fear not, only believe. Or don't let that word, don't give it room in your heart. So that your faith you expressed initially can find expression. Don't give any room to that word. Hallelujah. You know that Proverbs chapter 4 that we read, verse 22 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds what? The issues or the boundaries of life. Out of it, you guard your heart. You guard your heart with all diligence. You guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it proceeds what? The issues or the boundaries of life. So Jesus was trying to stop Jairus from responding to that word. Did Jairus have faith? Yes. He had expressed that faith initially when he came to Jesus. And Jesus, the power of God on two legs, was about to manifest Jairus' faith in his daughter's life. Then another news came. So obviously the news was meant to do one thing, steal his faith or stop it from operating. Hallelujah. I'm trying to let you see that whatever you hear per time can either build your faith and give you confidence or steal your faith from you. Whatever you hear per time. So please don't tell me it is okay to hear just anything. It's not. I don't understand why a believer, your favorite films are horror films. And that's what you want before you go to bed. How you don't have nightmares is a mystery. Thank God for God's grace. Your favorite films are horror films, and that's what is the last thing you want before you go to bed. And the Bible says, you shall meditate day in day and night. You are meditating horror films. It will be difficult for you to express faith where you need it, or boldness, because you are personally introducing fear into your heart at what you're doing. Now, not that it's being introduced, you are taking it and putting it there. And you will not know that that is having effect unconsciously until the day that you need to be bold. That's when you know that you're weak in your soul. Hallelujah. So imagine what God has told Joshua. This book shall not depart. If it takes day and night for there to be an effect, it takes day and night for you to speak God's word, for you to be immunized against fear. That's what it means. Don't be afraid. Don't do fear. Fear not. Consistently spoken, because it always gives room for the enemy to operate. The only reason why David had victory over Goliath was he was the only one who was not afraid. Anybody in the Israelite army could have won that victory for Israel if they remembered who they were, if they trusted enough God not to be afraid. But all of them, they were brainwashed for 40 days. I mean, you should tell the captain that I'm going home. This is too much. You ate in the morning, you ate in the evening. I'm going to kill you. I will feed you. That's what they were eating morning and evening. For 40 days propaganda. Your mind will be bent in the wrong direction. Until every time Goliath came out, before he can speak, they will just run. Once command, they will just run. Imagine about 300 men running away from one man. In Nigeria, they say, rush him. Quickly, rush him. You know, it didn't occur to anybody that let's rush him. His words were that powerful. His words has paralyzed their minds. Nobody thought, 300 of us, one man, what can he do? And he was dictating terms of what to them. He said that there's no need for all of us to fight. I'm one man. Just send me one man. And they listened to him. Is that not propaganda? And they listened to him. When they could have planned and said that next time he comes out, you come there. Let about 15 of us just rush him and finish him. That would be a bit. They couldn't even think it. You know, fear, suspense, common sense. Yeah. It does. You can't think straight when you're afraid. As well, fear is not of God in any way. It's not of God in any way. Any of them could have had that victory, but all of them were afraid. One man was not afraid. And to show they had nothing to do with size or human strength, he was smallest among them. He was the one who won the victory. Because he told his very, very clearly to Goliath, I want to show you this day, God doesn't save with sword or spear. The battle was fought with words. That's how he was won. Goliath and David are types and shadow of the believer facing something that in natural looks bigger, but the believer knows it's mightier than that. Hallelujah. Say, I'm mightier than whatever challenge may come my way. I'm a million times bigger on the inside and I am on the outside. I am more than a conqueror. The overcoming ability that belongs to Christ is constantly at work in me. It is God as at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure through me is to always put me over, is to always overcome, is to always be victorious, no matter the challenge. So there is no challenge that can stand against me successfully. I win all the time. I win always. Hallelujah. You have the last say. You have the last say. About how the situation will turn out, you have the last say. You are telling yourself, everybody that goes, they will not give you. Say, no. I am going and they will give me and I will come back with the results. You are determined before you go. What are you counting on? Favor in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of favor. They don't refuse me. They never say no to me. There's always a yes for me in Christ. You are determining the outcome. Because there are people who will not even make a single move just because they are afraid of invisible giants. You want to start that business? Everybody is failing me too. Nobody is succeeding. That's not a new story. Only Isaac sold in famine. Every other person took the economic report and the weather report and they didn't sow. But Isaac had sow in his land and he sowed. Every other person, they didn't sow because the land was burning up seed. But Isaac had another information. He sowed. So he monopolized the economy for that season with his bumper harvest because nobody else had the crop except him. Every other person acted on the economic situation and the weather reports. Isaac acted on something else entirely. A believer is meant to act on something else. Be strong in the Lord, hallelujah, and in the power of his might. Will provisions come without fail? I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. Whatever you are confessing, you are believing God for, God can make it good, and he will make it good. What do you do? Don't stop your confession. Don't change it. I was sharing with someone during the week, and I told the person how a woman conceived, and that they removed that womb. She conceived, and by the time she was put in bed, they had removed that womb, so they didn't understand how she conceived. She also wasn't expecting it. She just agreed with that husband there. They had removed that womb, and by the time they were bringing the baby out, they saw that the baby was in a small pouch that they couldn't explain what kind of pouch it was, and they just brought the baby out. So I told them, I said that God doesn't ask, you will have a baby if you have a womb. Mm-mm, you will have a baby. Are you in agreement? Fine. That's all. He doesn't discuss, they say there's no womb. Ah, what are we going to do? Gabriel, where are you? Ah, it's very difficult. How are we going to do it? No. The most difficult thing was for God to become a man, and he became a man. Every other thing is easy. Every other thing is easy. Every other thing is easy. If you could make a 90-year-old woman successfully carry a child, and a 99-year-old man impregnate a woman, there's a limitlessness in God that we need to understand. A limitlessness in God that we need to understand. So he keeps saying, fear not. That instruction is for your soul, it's for my soul. So that when we're faced with the challenge, we will not start thinking negatively and forget that it will never leave us, now what? Now forsake us. And thank God, God doesn't act according to your faithfulness. He acts according to his own faithfulness. All the faithfulness God needs that you keep saying his word. That's what you believe. You keep speaking it, you don't change it. You don't say something else. You don't allow something else to come into your mouth. You keep declaring that thing. You keep saying it consistently. And then you see the results of comfort. A minister ago was sharing testimony of how he had a particular growth on his face, like a mole. And they told him it was cancerous. He said, we'll go to the mirror in the morning, we'll look at it. And remember, God said, whosoever shall say unto him, because fear will want to come, cancer, and it's on the face, and it's malignant. And you know, that's like a death sentence. And the guy said, will you take chemotherapy? He said, no, I have a stronger treatment. I'm going to use a laser of God's word to cut it out. So the man will look at the mirror and speak, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, mole, I command you, be uprooted and be removed. He'll be saying his way. Now, unconsciously, he got to a point in time he was saying so frequently, he was no longer looking at the mirror. So he finished his bath one morning and accidentally looked at the mirror and it was gone. He could not even register when anything left. That means he had become so full of that word, he was no longer noticing. He didn't even matter to look at it. Let me say this. It's either your mind is preoccupied with what you are seeing or with what you are seeing physically. One of the two. If you say God's word long enough, after a while, what you will be seeing is what you are seeing. That's all. So that you won't be looking at the physical evidence and doubt whether they're manifestation. As long as you're focused on the physical evidence, you are not likely to see manifestation on time. But if what you are seeing has become the image that's formed within your heart, you won't even remember to check until one day you just discover. I've seen many people testify that they got well. Now, you know, I even forgot to check that back or that leg that I had been walking for 2 weeks before I realized, wait, every time I bend, that thing is no longer there. The word that produced results. Hallelujah. But it did when their mind was not even focused on that. It was just focused on what they were saying. Whosoever shall say, why must you say, the mountain will create fear? The mountain will look impossible. The mountain will look imposing. The mountain will look as though it will not go. Jesus told Jairus only one thing. Fear not. Don't do fear. Don't change the slant in your mind. What the slant in your mind is this. If I come, your daughter will leave. And I'm still coming. Don't let what they now say make it look as though you need something stronger than God in that situation. God is all you need. And is there already. So there's nothing bigger or mightier. God is enough. Hallelujah. God is enough. God is enough. So you stand your ground. You speak the word. It's deliberate. Doctors will tell you, madam, you are in tremendous pain. For the next 5 days, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, take this medicine. You need to see how religiously people take medicine. They will come out of a meeting and run. Ah, it's 3 o'clock. Please give me a cup of water. Very religiously. We now tell you, can you confess the word of God 3 times a day? You try it for 2 days. Pastor, I'm even tired. You are not tired yet. That is, you do it religiously for a week and you are taking it. The same principle. Can you sustain declaration of God's word for 3 months? You will not need 3 months before you see results. But can you sustain it for that long? And create such a circumference of God's power that no difficulty can stand against. Why do we sometimes need 6 months, 7 months to produce results? It's not because of lack of ability on God's part. It's to persuade our minds. That's all. It's the mind of man that is difficult to persuade. It's never God. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he with him also freely give us all things? That's God's stance concerning you. So when you step into a situation, step into it with one consciousness. I am not alone. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's enough power in me to solve this situation 10 times over. This also shall come to pass. Glory to God. That's the position, that's the language of a victor, of a victorious one. You have to keep saying those things. It has become your reality, then it becomes your experience. It's your reality now in Christ, it has to be your experience. You're saying it, you're saying it, that's what you want to hear. Your mind is elastic. It can stretch beyond where it is now. It can accept a new reality than what's accepted in any area. Say with me, all things are possible to him that believes. I believe. All things are possible unto me. I believe for supernatural provisions. I believe for divine assistance. I believe for divine wisdom. I believe for supernatural understanding. I believe for supernatural favor. All things are possible because I believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will stop here tonight.